Welcome back to Diamond Gems. I am your host, Jacob Coates, and today I am joined by my co-host and my brother, Isaac. Isaac, how are you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying the WBC. Not watching spring training anymore since that's come on, I must say.
Yep, that's the same with me. I've checked a couple. Getting choked up. You're already emotional about the WBC. I have checked into a couple, like, box scores for spring training games just to see how some prospects are doing and stuff like that, but I have not been watching it either because there has been so much WBC baseball taking place. It's honestly kind of chaotic and at times too much to keep up with because I mean, I still have a full-time job. You know, I mean, I make my own hours, which is nice, and I can kind of just listen to games in the background. And if I'm doing very mindless work, then sometimes I can even put it on the TV and it's not too much of a distraction. But Isaac, are you as kind of shocked as me in terms of like just how incredible this tournament has been so far?
I've been very impressed. I am surprised by, I like the additions of the four extra teams, but the competitiveness level between the top teams and some of the shocks that have happened, as well as seeing players that we've never heard of shine, is really cool. And also the Latin American teams, the excitement from the fans is absolutely incredible. And that goes along with Japan, while Japan was playing, and Taiwan when Taiwan was playing. Super lit.
Yeah. I don't know what I was expecting, but... And also, a weird thing to note, I haven't watched a WBC up until this point. I've always been, like, super into baseball and everything like that, but I don't know if they just did a bad job of marketing or if I just wasn't, like, really as tuned into baseball in 2019, which is when the last one took place, as I am now. I think that's probably the case. But man, I have been missing out. Obviously, people are saying around the like industry that this is the most talent-filled WBC yet, and it's kind of been trending that way ever since it got brought in. That, you know, more and more talented baseball players are participating because they're seeing what an experience this is for both the fans and the players that participate, you know, the coaches, everyone involved. Is just making this such an incredible event that, you know, it's growing in popularity, not only with fans, but also with players. Speaking of fans, though, I heard that the game, it was Mexico and USA at Chase Field. That was the most fans they've ever had in attendance for any baseball game at Chase Field.
Yes.
Which is nuts. Because the Arizona Diamondbacks won a World Series at Chase Field. And I guess what's probably happened is maybe now they've added a little bit more capacity or something like that. Or they allowed more people in. Because I'm sure that when they won the World Series, it was a packed house. But
I'm
still
curious to know when they actually added seats and put more people in the stadium. Because if they've gone through multiple home openers without selling that many tickets, the Diamondbacks probably aren't in the best position.
Well, the capacity yesterday was like 47,000 and something. So, I mean, you can not sell out and still have like a really good crowd at Chase Field. It's a really big, high capacity stadium, clearly.
Do they go by? Because I feel like back in the day it was different. You based your attendance on how many ticket sales you had. But now, since it's all automated, is your attendance based on the people that scan their tickets and actually go into the stadium, or is it based on ticket sales still? Maybe that's the thing. Maybe the difference is people not showing up and people showing up.
Yeah.
And it probably is a stupid question to even ask, but I genuinely don't actually know. I would assume that it's people coming into the building, because if it isn't, I just feel like we're behind the times in that regard.
I feel like I would think that now it's, you know, you scan your phone or you give it to, like, you scan a ticket or whatever at every entranceway. I would think that they're basing the capacity off of that. But I mean, I don't know. I think they're always going to want to make it seem like the numbers are higher than they are. So if that's the case, I would think that they'd go off of, you know, ticket sales, because you'd sell more tickets. Like people, like you said, there's going to be a few no-shows here and there. You know, someone gets stuck in traffic. Someone just has an emergency. Someone dies. You know, they don't get to the ballpark. You never know. So that's what I would base it on, I think. But yeah, man, big crowds. Moving over to Miami, like the game between like any game with Venezuela, the Venezuela Puerto Rico game was unreal. The DR games have been really exciting. It's been fun in Miami too. It's actually great to see how passionate baseball fans are in Miami. And I haven't seen it like this there since the Jose Fernandez era. And it reminds me so much of that era, though, because it was still a very like passionate Latin American fan base there, mostly like a Cuban fan base of, you know, people coming to watch Jose Fernandez. They were selling out. The place was rocking. It had that like Miami, like Cuban Latin America influence that you get when you party, when you go to Miami and you like go to the clubs and everything there. That's the experience that you get. And that has not, for the most part, like translated to like Marlins games, except back in that era. And now it's like you're getting a taste of it. So if anyone didn't watch like the Jose Fernandez era and saw games in Miami at that point, this is kind of like a taste of like the vibes. This is how electric the stadium was, and every time Jose Fernandez took the mound. So this is a couple podcasts in a row now that we've started talking about Jose Fernandez, but I mean, whatever. But yeah, I mean, so I guess we should kind of talk about like what's actually gone on in the tournament. We don't need to like go into crazy detail or anything like that, because that's not what this podcast is really about anymore. We're not here to just deliver news to you, but we can tell you this much. In Pool A, absolute chaos happened. Cuba, Netherlands, Panama, Italy, and Chinese Taipei, aka Taiwan. I just got to stop calling them Chinese Taipei straight up. I just need to call them Taiwan.
AKA Chinese Taipei. That's the only way it works.
That's fair. Because then someone goes into the app. Whatever. All of those teams ended up 2-2. 2-2. The same records across the board. So then what it comes down to is tiebreaker. And I'm not even going to get into the complexities of the tiebreaker. But essentially, there's like you have like head-to-head matchups come into play, and then runs for come into play, and then like runs against also come into play. So however it shook out, all of these teams were 2-2, but Cuba ends up winning the division, and Italy sneaks through as the runner up. So far, if we're reflecting on our bracket, we're both 50% in Pool A, because we both had Cuba advancing. I think you had Cuba winning, didn't you?
I had Cuba winning.
Yeah, I had Cuba as runner-up, and I had Netherlands as the winner. They finished third. I mean, I can't be too mad about it, though, realistically, because like everyone was 2-2. So, I mean, whatever. They could have advanced had the runs and everything gone their way. They also choked. They were in the driver's seat and they fucking blew a game. So
yeah, in a way, that division turned out to be a disaster.
Yeah.
That's like the one kind of, I don't know if that's a mishap, but a five-way tie is a little fucked up.
Yeah. But it's very interesting. A lot of people making funny comments about Italy making it through, saying congratulations to New Jersey on their WBC Pool A victory. I thought that was pretty funny, because if you actually look at the roster, most of them are literally guys from Jersey that are just like American and Italians.
Italian-Americans. You had it right the first time. I don't know why you questioned yourself.
I second-guessed myself
American
all the time.
Does American-Italian sound better for you?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. Is there priority over, like, if you're born in America, then you're American-Italian? If you were born in Italy and moved to...
still.
Okay.
Like, it just rings better.
Whatever the case may be, New Jersey advances to the quarterfinals, along with Cuba in Pool A. And then... those games were fun to watch. They took place in Taiwan, Taichung, I believe. Both of them. They had two stadiums that they played out of there, and they were both pretty cool looking, actually. But that was a really interesting atmosphere to watch. One of my biggest takeaways from this WBC so far has just been getting to kind of see the global culture of baseball, and like the culture from country to country is so much different. And I already kind of knew that, but I haven't really seen it too much. As you know, one of my bucket list items is to go to Japan and, you know, watch a couple of the Nippon games there, and probably like Tokyo and a couple of the other places. But it's crazy. The games in Taiwan were electric. They had like cheerleaders, they had like a band, they had a hype man going the whole game. At one point they cut over to the hype man and he was just like there, like headbanging. They have all these like organized chants and like songs that the crowd gets up and sings along. And it's just a lot of fun.
It's funny there. Game by game though, that atmosphere is entirely different. That's the best part. Yeah. Like the opening game was like, there was like 8,000, not even 8,000.
It was dry as fuck.
It was nothing going on. And then
that was that Panama and Cuba? Was that the opener?
Yeah, I know it was Cuba for sure. I'm trying to remember who Cuba opened against. I don't know if it was Panama.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, whatever the case. Yeah, you're right. Like, the games that didn't have Taiwan in them were definitely not as much fun, because Cuba had that like one dude that was just sitting behind home plate, just like blowing that horn.
So,
and standing up constantly to like wave his flag. That was actually kind of annoying, but it was also kind of funny.
I loved it, but at the same time, like, I hated it because it was so loud compared to, like, there was nothing else going in the crowd. And if it was a full crowd and that was happening, that would be spectacular. But the fact that it was completely empty,
that was like the only noise.
And the only noise that you heard, and almost over the over the broadcasters. Yeah. But he would also blow that horn at very opportune times or inopportune times, because he had no regard of when he was blowing it. He would blow it right before they swung, right before they pitched, or during their pitch. But he would do it for both sides. Like, he was doing it for the Cuban, like, throwing out the Cuban hitters, maybe. Who knows? But,
Well, it was still really interesting. I've never seen baseball games take place in Taiwan, and apparently great baseball country. So it's not that far from Japan, and I am going to go to Japan at some point, and I'm going to watch baseball games there. And I'm thinking that maybe I need to go from Japan to Taiwan to Korea and just do like a baseball circuit, you know, hit those three areas in particular. Maybe even sneak down to Australia for an ABL game, which would probably not be nearly as exciting. But,
or you could go to New Zealand for an ABL game too, as they have one team.
Do they?
They do. Auckland.
That'd be fun.
Auckland has a team in the ABL.
I'm on board with that. All right. Well, okay, let's move on to Pool B. Continuing our culture talk, Japan, what did you think of the games taking place at the Tokyo Dome?
The Tokyo Dome was a weird place, man. It looked like a step back in time with the island infield and the dome. It gave me vibes of Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
Yeah. Or like the King Dome in Seattle.
Yeah. To be honest, that division is kind of the one I watched the least. Japan absolutely dominated. Shohei absolutely dominated. It was fairly crazy. And then, I mean, Australia. What a surprise.
A
pleasant surprise. South Korea got off to a horrendous start, and they haven't fared well at the WBC in history, I've noticed. Looking back, they have not done well.
Which is kind of surprising, because they have a very established, like, the KBO is a very established league. They have, like, there's been a lot of stars from Korea that have come over to the MLB. And, you know, there's a lot of Korean baseball players even playing in Japan. And, yeah, it was pretty surprising. I agree. They didn't look very good at all. The only teams that they beat up were teams that they were expected to win against. So, yeah, that was a bit of a shock. We both had Japan and Korea advancing through there, but apparently we slept on Australia because, frankly, they looked like good. Like, they looked like a solid, like, quality team. They were playing good defense. They looked like they could hit legit pitching. I was pretty impressed with Australia's performance. And I mean, you never know in the quarterfinals. It's one game at a time. We'll see how it goes.
And that's without Liam Hendricks. But they're lined up to play Cuba. They're not lined up to play Cuba yet, are they? We don't know who they're actually playing yet.
But I'm pretty sure it's going to be, because it'll be the winner of Pool B, which is Japan, versus the runner-up. It should be that way, I think.
Yeah, so it should be Japan versus
Italy.
Italy, and then Cuba versus
Australia. Yeah. Okay. So, in that, like, I could see Australia beating Cuba. Cuba is...
You sleep on Cuba. You do. I don't know why you've slept on Cuba. They should not have been your number two seed. They should have been your number one seed. I think maybe you were a little concerned with a lot of the Cuban players, the Cuban MLB players, not playing for them. They still have a few, but there's a few that said no.
More than a few. There was a lot that said no.
There were a fair number of them that said no. But Cuba won the WBC, I believe, before, and they did not have a single MLB player at the time, because they weren't allowed to. This is the first year Cuba has allowed MLB players to play on Cuba. But that's why I'm saying Cuba, they don't necessarily have to be in the MLB. They still have a massive baseball culture there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're seeing that with a lot of the Latin American teams.
I think for sure that I'm blinded a little bit by MLB bias, and I look at the teams that have the most, like, established MLB players, and I think, okay, this looks like a good lineup. But it's really just like a unfamiliarity with the other teams and not really knowing the other players, because if you look at, like, Japan's lineup, and I knew this, though. I knew that they had just stars, both from MLB and from the MPB. So I kind of expected it more with them, and I did not sleep on Japan at all. But, like, just the guys that...
Japan.
Huh? No, I know. I know you didn't say that.
Nobody in the world.
Okay, but Cuba, I just, like, I don't know. I thought the Netherlands was a better team just because... I mean, they had Bogarts, Gregorius, and who else did they have on the infield? Oh my God, who was playing third base for them? Whatever, I can't remember. But they also had, like, Vladimir Ballantyne, who is, like, the all-time home run leader in Japan. So they had some dudes. They were weak on the pitching side of things.
Yes,
and it ended up burning them.
So,
but.
Yeah, Curaçao, Aruba, and Vincent Martin?
I don't know.
That trio of the countries were better than Italy, for sure. As far as, I mean, Kingdom of Netherlands, they really had to make sure they just use the countries that they've colonized on their team, because Netherlands would not have fielded a team if they didn't.
That's how, like, this tournament plays out. Like, all of the, like, even if you think about, like, Great Britain, too, Like, they colonized Bahamas. And so Jazz Chisholm originally was going to play for Great Britain.
But currently, England doesn't have any of those players, do they? Because right now it's all English background players, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it ended up being that, but yeah, I know for sure it, that I'm Jazz sure was it. Going to play, and he okay. bowed out.
Because I think Netherlands is the only one that has players that have never been to Netherlands or have family from Netherlands. I could be very wrong about that, but
yeah.
But yeah, Netherlands is better than Italy. It's still in my head. And Cuba, Cuba is still better than Netherlands, in my opinion. And I thought Cuba and Netherlands were a fairly easy 1-2 seed in that division. Obviously, that did not go to plan because five of those teams could have made it through. Mm. All five.
Yeah. That's why I'm not too mad about my pick there. And the thing I've said too is it's literally like every game matters. Over the course of a season, you know, like if the Dodgers only played the Oakland A's, like the Oakland A's would probably still they play 150 times or something like that. The A's would probably still end up with at least 20 wins. So you just really never know. Like a bad team can always beat a good team. That's just the way baseball plays out. So it's pretty much impossible to completely predict a bracket. I am not too mad about that. And then Australia beating Korea out, like, I don't think many people saw that coming. And also, like, cool. I think that's cool that Australia beat Korea out.
Yeah.
Czech Republic got a win. That's awesome. I mean, yeah, it was against China, who is arguably, maybe not even arguably, was like the worst team in this tournament, I think.
See, I don't know how China qualified, because I was looking in the past, they've seen teams, was a South African team, Brazil played in it before. There's another South American team, I believe, that played at one point. Mm-hmm. But there's been other teams, and I'm looking at China and then going through their roster and looking at their stats in their own leagues. China, I don't know. We ignored China and we're looking at Czech. Oh my God, like blown away by them being in it. But China was by far the worst.
Yeah.
Like there like, wasn't even close.
Dude, you cannot quote me on this because I don't know for sure, but I would bet money that not a single pitch from a Chinese player reached 90 miles per hour. Like, I watched a few of their games, and, well, a few of parts of their games, because I couldn't sit through the whole shelling that they were getting every time. But I did not see a single pitch above 90 miles an hour. Like, the fastballs from the Chinese pitchers were constantly sitting between like 83 and 86. And yeah. I'm like, it's hard to compete with that against these big league guys. Like, that's like batting practice to them.
I'm curious to see if a little league team could beat China at this point. And I, like, the little league players are throwing like low to mid 70s. So it's not like it's out of the question.
Yeah. The only like guy that looked like a legit ball player was Ray Chang, who played in the like MLB minor league system for a really long time.
Came off of the roster, and then put a little league team against them. See what happens.
I think they'd probably win, but I do think that that was not a good showing for China.
Yes,
and. You know,
I think it's a good showing for every team that shows up, to be honest.
You make it there.
A story. I don't know if this is a confirmed story. Maybe it is. But anyways, story, if it is confirmed, if it is true, then this would be the most wholesome story ever. And that story belongs to Nicaragua. A pitcher, I believe he was 21 years old. Duque Hebert, believe that's how you say it, struck out Juan Soto, Julio Rodriguez, and Rafael Devers. This was a guy that hasn't been scouted. This was a guy that was never drafted. As we know, Nicaragua does not have a long history of baseball stars. And there's obviously not much of a scouting network, if at all, down there. After the game, a Detroit Tigers scout approached this guy, and he ended up signing a minor league contract. And I want to see if we can confirm this, but absolutely amazing that this is why the WBC needs to exist. It's not necessarily for USA to dominate, Dominican to dominate, but it's for these players that don't have the platform, don't have the resources around them to be in the spotlight. It allows them to perform against the best in the world and allows them to be seen and talked about. And now this guy possibly has the opportunity of a lifetime, something that he's probably dreamed of. He hasn't played in the Dominican League. He hasn't played in any league outside of Nicaragua, apparently. So, massive.
Yeah. Wholesome. I'm glad you brought that up. I think it is confirmed because I saw it on Talking Baseball, which is probably where you saw it as well, I think, right? And
what, sorry?
Did you see it on Talking Baseball?
I didn't, actually. That's why I didn't want to that's why I said I couldn't necessarily confirm it, because it wasn't a page that I was familiar with. I do trust Talking Baseball.
They posted about it, and then on the Canada broadcast today, they mentioned it as well.
So it is real.
Yeah, so that it's a real thing that happened, and I mean, I don't really have anything to add. I think you summarized it perfectly, but I was going to bring up that exact point that, like, this is who it's for. Like, you're giving opportunities to players who may have never had a look before at all. And I think that, I mean, it's small sample size. Like, I'm sure that the minor league deal this guy signed as, like, the lowest level minor league deal that you could probably acquire. But he might have never had that opportunity before. And now he has a chance to join a Major League Baseball organization and have a shot at probably living out his dream. I would assume his dream is, if you're a baseball player, like a professional baseball player, I'm pretty sure everyone's dream is to, like, make it to the show. So it's just so amazing that stuff like that can come from these tournaments. And it's, yeah, it's exactly why this tournament is, I feel like, important. And even if, you know, next year, or not next year, but like the next WBC, they don't get the same, like, player turnout or anything, I'll still be tuning in because you get to see stuff like that. And it's still, like, just so exciting to see. And I mean, the timing of it is perfect. It's happening during MLB spring training games. Like, who really gives a fuck about MLB spring training games that much?
Yeah. Like, we're now, yeah, this is the perfect time to have it for sure, because we're beginning to tune back into baseball. I think it sets the scene for the MLB season, gets people in baseball mood, because spring training is a very slow burn for the most mm-hmm. part. So to have something that's, like, impactful, exciting, I remember the thing you said yesterday, I believe, that you're scared that you're going to be disappointed watching MLB games after this.
Yeah.
But to be completely fair, some mismatches occur and some horrible games do occur.
Yeah. Like Canada, like the Great Britain and Canada. Britain
was the worst game I have ever seen in my life. That looked like a house league minor peewee game. There's absolutely no defense, absolutely no pitching. It was atrocious baseball. It took mm-hmm. 3 hours to get through the first three innings. I'm just, thank whoever you have to thank that it ended up being a mercy.
Yeah. Our Uncle Kevin, a listener of the show, the creator of our intro and outro music, both for this podcast and formerly the Scramble Squad podcast as well, messaged us and said, you know, I checked into that Great Britain and Canada game. I think I'm good. I don't need to watch this tournament anymore. And Wade, if you're listening to this, respectfully, we already kind of said our piece, and I think that you saw it in the next game that you watched. But that was the worst game of the tournament. I mean, maybe that China game where they lost by like
20 runs.
What was it? 22-5 was the final score, or something like that.
22-2.
That would have been horrendous as well, I'm sure. So you do get games like that. If you get one of those games, just turn it off. Also, it's early enough in those rounds probably that there's probably another game going on that you can just switch over to that one. So, yes, there is some really shitty games that happen like that. That game was a great example of it. But then you have other games like the Mexico-Colombia game.
What a surprise that was.
That was a surprise.
Fantastic game, though.
Extra innings. Colombia ends up winning, 5-4?
5-4 in extras.
In extra innings. That was a big upset. Mexico, I think it's fair to say, is the second favorite team in this pool.
Well, yeah.
It's definitely fair to say. USA, Mexico, and then probably Colombia, Canada are kind of
or Canada, Colombia. Equal. I think Canada should edge out Colombia in the
and they did today.
And they did today. Especially having just Freddie Freeman in the lineup, even though he got hurt in the second or third inning.
Yeah, the Dodgers are not going to be happy about that. Freddie Freeman left the game with some hamstring discomfort. And this is a good segue into talking about how, you know, teams are not wanting players to join this tournament because of shit like this. You see all the time players like basically saying that they want to play, but the team kind of like was like, nah, like we don't want you to play. Players and teams, very much like professional established players, very much prioritize their own team over this for the most part. I think it was Yadier Molina said that he would rather win the WBC than a World Series. I'm pretty sure that's who said that. So there is obviously the odd, like, established MLB player that doesn't feel the same way.
He's won his fair share already, so he's won his World Series. So maybe this is something new and something much more exciting.
Nah, but I think he said that in like 20, like a while back. Okay. Yeah,
fair enough. But yeah, it's also the organization, like MLB itself, wants they are funding this. With mm-hmm. Japan, like this is their thing. They need this. They want to grow the game. They want to globalize the game. This is the best way to do it. You need to have your star players, and if individual teams don't like it, they're fucking stupid. Like this is necessary to grow. Like I'm thinking back to the Olympics a couple years ago. Hockey is in a desperate spot to grow their game, and they took their players out. Did you watch? I don't even know what happened in the Olympics that year in hockey.
It wasn't worth watching.
It wasn't worth watching. Like, why would you tune in to watch below average players play? Like, you want to see the best in the world on the world stage. It's not like club teams in the World Cup are like, nah, we're not letting our players play. The World Cup is the biggest stage. So why wouldn't the world stage for any sport be the biggest stage?
Yeah, and this is kind of an argument, too, that we're kind of, like, contradicting ourselves here, because we also said that this tournament is still important regardless of if the stars show up, because people, like the guy that you mentioned for Nicaragua, who is now signed to a minor league deal with the Tigers, people like that still need those opportunities, but you also have to think that it's still very important that the big league guys are there. Because if he struck out three, basically...
Nothing happens.
Like, no names. Nothing comes of it. But because he struck out three established stars, it really allowed you to see how nasty...
Your contradiction.
Then. And how good he was.
You just proved that they clearly do need the stars, and this wouldn't exist without the stars. It would not exist without the stars.
Yeah. And the other thing
Mike
that's very
Trump
important...
wasn't on USA, I don't want to watch USA. I don't want to watch anybody.
Yeah, the other thing that's very important, too, is, like, if those guys don't show up, like, the fans aren't really showing up as much either, right? And probably less scouts, stuff like that. There's probably less people that actually get to see that happen. So it's less opportunities for those players. So in terms of growing the game with MLB, and did you say like Japan is funding this too?
Yeah. So if you're the last WBC, there was an issue between the MPB and the MLB on revenue sharing. So they're shouldering much of the load of the WBC.
Hmm.
And
interesting.
Yeah, this is a right, like MLB is the one that wants this as well as the MPB. They need to grow their game, and it's not like FIFA. There's no organization like FIFA for baseball. There's no world organization. So the biggest organization has to step up, and that's what they do.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, Isaac, we should move this along. We should wrap it up. You know, this is supposed to just be a quick chat about the WBC. All right, Pool C, right now Canada is your leader. They're 2-1, USA 2-1. Then Mexico 1-1, Colombia 1-2, and Great Britain 1-2. So I think that it's going to be pretty crazy to see Canada and Mexico. By the time this airs, this will already all those records will be irrelevant. I shouldn't have even rhymed them off.
We're gonna say yeah, like final standings in Pool C: Mexico, USA.
That is probably likely going to be the case. I said before it's gonna take a miracle for Canada to beat Mexico. So if by the time this airs, it's Canada over Mexico, a miracle has happened, because that means that Mexico either lost to Great Britain or lost to Canada. And both of those things seem extremely improbable. Before we move on from Pool C, Isaac, we're talking about culture. How about the fucking Mexican culture at these games? How about the dudes behind home plate during the Canada and or Mexico and USA game?
Okay, that was a mix of U.S. fans and Mexican fans.
Yeah.
That was super lit.
But I'm telling you right now, the U.S. fans weren't doing that shit if the Mexicans
yes,
weren't there.
Yes, you're right. Because that didn't show up until partway through. And we've watched MLB for so many years. We have not seen atmospheres like this in baseball. Yeah, so you're right. It was the Mexican fans bringing that to the table and inspiring that other fans to compete and celebrate with them. Which, the greatest part about what they were doing behind the plate, just ringing everybody up collectively, was going both ways. They were all doing it for against the Americans. They were all doing it against the Mexicans. Like, it was
completely unbiased.
Phenomenal. Yes.
So and, if you haven't seen that, go look up that video. I think Talking Baseball. They posted it. Go check it out there. Basically, behind home plate, anytime there was a strikeout, there was a crowd of what, like 15 guys back there probably, that were just would stand up and just ring them up with the umpire. And then also there was a couple like shoe skis that happened back there. People were chugging beers out of shoes and shit. They were wiling out behind home plate. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yo, what is it about the name Will Smith that makes you disrespect people for no reason?
I don't know.
Something, I don't know.
Maybe it's such a generic name that they're just mad at the world.
Yeah. And I know, like, I don't know what actually transpired there, but apparently, Randy Rosarena after answered in an interview in Spanish, so I don't know the direct translation.
Lost in translation, perhaps.
Lost in translation, but he said he genuinely was happy to see him and wanted and gave him props, and he said he left me hanging. And then he was like, what am I going to do, like cry about it? And I was just like, so there was nothing between that that inspired that, maybe going back to the World Series that the Dodgers won? But I don't know. Will Smith looked like a little bitch. Just like his brother in name.
Yeah, Will Smith is a bitch. 100%. Yeah. That was a bitch move. Isaac is talking about Randy Rosarena walking up to the plate and trying to give the catcher, Will Smith, a fist bump. And dude literally just left him hanging, said, I'm not giving you a fist bump.
Yeah.
Just and, poor sports. Yeah. It's that. It's it. Really, all it is poor sportsmanship. People can say, you're like, you're it's a competitive game. Like, you don't bump fists with your opponent. Why not?
Yes.
You can still want to beat them,
Jacob,
super bad,
to,
but say, hey, man, what's up?
Emphasize this point, because I think almost missing something here. This wasn't anything even to do with, like, oh, what's good, dapping up on the field during the game, because that's not what that's necessarily about. If you watch any baseball game, at the start of not 80% of the games, the first batter that comes to the plate typically is dapping up the umpire, saying what's up. And
which he did.
And got his reciprocation there from the umpire. And then they'll sometimes bump the catcher on and they'll exchange nods, whatever. Will Smith just completely said, fuck you. This is a common occurrence in baseball where there's the first person that's coming up in the game is doing that. It's not about competitiveness. It's not about doing it mid-game, because I understand not doing it mid-game, Jacob. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to emphasize the fact that was his first plate appearance, first time seeing Will Smith, and he's just greeting them very casually. All it would take for us to never say a word about it and not even pay attention to it is Will Smith acknowledging his existence, which he didn't do. How could you not? How could you disrespect the God like that? That's Randy Rosarena. That is
all it really comes down to. God. Yes. All it really comes down to, Isaac, is that Will Smith hates Mexicans. Just hates them. I can't believe he hates Mexicans, but obviously the facts are there. Wait, he hates Mexicans. He didn't fist bump Randy Rosarena.
Is there anything else? And he hates immigration too.
Maybe he also hates Cubans, because Randy is a Cuban Mexican.
He's a Mexican immigrant. He immigrated to Mexico from Cuba. So two things that Will Smith probably does not tolerate. Those are Mexicans and immigrants.
And possibly even Cubans.
Yes. And possibly Cubans. That's what because there's no... If someone can find us a reasonable explanation on why Will Smith is a bitch for what he did, enlighten us. Until then, we're just running with he's a racist.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it comes down to. Randy Rosarena, Isaac, while we're talking about him, I have already professed my love for him on this show. I'll do it again here. He is an absolute god. People do not give him the fucking credit that he deserves. He is literally the most clutch man on planet Earth. He was unbelievable in his playoff run. Anytime
Barry Bonds record.
Yes. And now in the WBC, he's on fire as well. Absolutely helped to torch in both of their wins. Just torched. He's
only in their wins,
so good.
He had like a two-run shot against Colombia too.
Yes.
Like, this is just... He just does this. I don't know, though, why he doesn't just do this all the time in regular season. Like, he doesn't...
I think maybe
fun.
He's a guy that just needs that edge, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the adrenaline gets to him during those big situations, and he's just able to, like, channel it into the success.
I saw the beginning. I saw before he even started, before his first game, he was wearing the cowboy boots on the field. I saw a video of it, and they said, uh-oh, and here we are now. As soon as you put him in those cowboy boots, game over, series over. This is the greatest athlete in existence. And I know
Randy Rosarena, Isaac,
yes.
31 games played in MLB postseason. He has a .333 batting average, .417 on base. That's a 1.121 OPS. And he also has 11 home runs, 7 RBIs, 3 stolen bases. He's a fucking god.
You know what blows me away? Randy Rosarena has played 10 times the amount of playoff games that Mike Trout has.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Randy's been in the league for 3 years. This is third season.
All right, I pulled up Randy's stats for the WBC. Prepare to be mind blown. All right. 556. Batting average. OPS of over 1,800.
Oh, what the fuck?
Dude is a savage.
He's winning MVP. They need to, if they get to the finals, MVP. I don't care if they lose. If they,
I think even if they, I think even if they don't make it out of this pool, I think he's going to be the MVP.
See, I'm worried now because my concern, what I had picked was quarterfinals. Well, USA was going to finish second. Oh wait, no, Dominican was going to finish second, and theirs, I believe. I don't know which way.
So that's looking
it.
Good for you.
But no, it was USA finishing second. I think one of the teams I have finishing second. It was supposed to be USA and Dominican facing each other, and then Mexico, Venezuela facing each other. What it looks kind of like right now is Mexico is likely to play Dominican, and Venezuela is likely to play USA. The way it sits currently, and mm-hmm. that might change. That concerns me a lot for both Venezuela and Mexico. I wanted Dominican and USA to play. Dominican does not look like they should have.
No, dude, I'm pretty sure you're wrong, because I think USA is probably going to win the Pool C.
No, they're not. How would that be possible? If they both finish 3-1, who has a tiebreaker there, Jacob?
Oh, shit.
We literally just Mexico walk all over USA. Mexico, if they win tomorrow, they're first place. Secured. Bag.
That's true.
Yes. As long as they beat Canada, they secure first place. Because they have the head-to-head.
Damn.
Yeah. But the only way they can't get first place is if they don't make it at all.
Yeah.
If USA goes 3-1, they go 2-2. And in that case, I don't know. It could be a... Oh, it would be Canada. I like to see Canada do well in the future, but I do not want Canada to beat out Mexico. Mexico is a much better team.
Yeah.
Even if they lose tomorrow. Like, it would be stupid. I don't want to see Canada in the quarterfinals right now. I want to see the four best teams. And Puerto Rico is the fifth. So if that fifth best team has to make it through, then Puerto Rico. But Dominican...
Yeah, Pool D is stacked as we kind of anticipated here. We're, again, not going to go through everything. Nicaragua is eliminated. But as we stand today, Venezuela has clinched a way through. They haven't necessarily clinched the top spot, I don't think. But Puerto Rico and Dominican are kind of battling for that second spot still. The way things are lining up, I anticipate Dominican being able to make it through. But we shall see. And Venezuela, Isaac, my pick to win the tournament is looking really good so far. I think that they have looked like the best team in the tournament, both on both sides of the ball. In terms of, like I said, I knew that they were going to be like the most lit, vibrant team in the tournament. That's been the case so far. And the crowds at the Venezuela games have been nuts. Their fans are passionate.
Now, that division is going to come down to it tomorrow night, because Dominican is currently beating Israel 2-0. I'm assuming that will stand. But tonight, I guess tomorrow night, as in tonight, at 7 p.m. Eastern time, Dominican and Puerto Rico play. And that game will probably be the deciding factor in that division. Because head-to-head matters there for that second seed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that Venezuela loses to Israel tomorrow, right? Like, if they did, then that first seed might be up for grabs, depending. No, head-to-head still either way.
We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out. The whole point of this podcast, you know, this is coming full circle here. The whole point of this podcast is please watch the WBC. It is worth your time. It is worth your energy. It has been extremely exciting to watch, and it's only going to get better from here because we are reaching the end of pool play, and it is about to go into the quarterfinals. Watch it.
Please.
You got nothing else going on. Hockey right now, sure, there's some playoff races, but things are pretty much solidified there.
Basketball, the West. If you're not in the West, what's the point of watching basketball? because the West is a billion times better.
Basketball lost me after the Raptors won the championship. I stopped watching anyway, so that
hockey
doesn't cross my mind very often.
I was conceived.
There you go. We're baseball guys, Isaac. That's why this is a baseball podcast, not some other sports. But yeah, we're going to wrap this up here. Let the intro music play.
Bye.
We're on our way out of here. Thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Diamond Gems Podcast and at Shaped by Sports. Follow our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Shaped by Sports. And follow us on... Oh, I'm running out of time! Follow us on wherever you get your podcasts and leave a nice review. Goodbye.
Bye.